This is the CC Radio Podcast.
Welcome to the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews Podcast. We're doing a feature review again for you today. This time it's X-Men Dark Phoenix. My name is Wayne.
And my name is Paul. Welcome to this last X-Men film in the Fox universe.
It is the last, yes.
Because, of course, this represents the last effort that Fox made at doing an X-Men film before they handed the reins of the whole company over to Disney.
So, effort being a relative term. Foreshadowing.
Wayne not bearing the lead at all. It's directed by Simon Kinberg and written by he as well. It's, of course, based on the X-Men comic by Stan Lee and Jack Kirby. It stars James McAvoy, Michael Fassbender, Jennifer Lawrence, Nicholas Holt, Sophie Turner, Ty Sheridan, and Jessica Chastain. It's 114 minutes long. The budget, Wayne. How much do you reckon for this CGI heavy?
I heard you cackle a little bit when you were reading it before and I didn't know what it was.
Most dev.
Let's see. Look at this cast. Look at everyone. I bet you it's 120.
$200 million.
Really?
For this particular film.
Do you know why? It's because freaking J-Lore and motherfucking Jess Chass and fucking all these other crackers are in it.
$200 million. I guess Fox went out with a bang. Let's put it that way.
Man, Michael Fassbender got so rich off this.
It's only made $42 million so far, but again, that's off one day's taking. So ignore that given the time that we record. It's yet to be seen whether it's a success or not. But I guess they need to turn some $400 to $500 million before they even consider it close to that.
I saw an article saying it was had a dismal opening.
Okay. Well, there you go. So bodes ill. Wayne, what is Dark Phoenix about?
X-Men Dark Phoenix. So while doing a space mission, Jean Grey absorbs this weird cosmic power which looks like glowing purple cotton candy, and in doing so, she inadvertently now has the Phoenix Force, which is so badass it basically...
Battle of the Planets?
That's, What is that?
It was G-Force, but that
G-Force,
was...
G-Force, yeah, yeah, but they were Phoenix had Phoenix and things. Yeah, I remember that.
Ooh,
I
hope someone's ripping someone off.
I hope someone... I just hope there's people out there old enough to get that reference.
Yeah, deep cut.
Now she's the Dark Phoenix, and she's in control of these. And she's not in control of these powers, so she unwittingly becomes kind of a threat to the entire world, including her X-Men buddies led by Professor X. And as if that weren't bad enough, some generic aliens follow her back to Earth so that they can somehow harness the Phoenix Force for their own means. That is this story.
Heavy on the word generic.
Yes, they're just we'll get into it.
We certainly shall. All right, Wayne. What over? Overall, first impressions of Dark Phoenix.
Now, I think we all heard some unkind words about this show before I certainly did before I saw it.
Yeah, and the buzz was not positive.
The buzz was not. And then when I walked in, I remembered nothing about the previous film. Like, I was like, oh shit, what happened in fucking Apocalypse with Oscar Isaac? So I had to do a little fucking Googling in the cinema and sat there.
That was pretty forgettable, that movie too.
My God, I remembered not one thing about it except for the Quicksilver scene. That was kind of cool. But I don't even know if that was that movie. Anyway. So I did all that, and then I forgot really whether that it was supposed to be bad or whatever. I'm going to say this for sure. First hour of the show, I was like, this is not crap. It's okay. Like, this is fine. I'm still kind of here, right?
Because I have to be.
No, but like, I don't mind, you know, even superhero movies. I'll watch that shit, right? But so I was like, this is okay. It's not specifically blowing me off. There's some excellent like special effects. There's a car crash at the beginning. It looks really good. But then at the 1 hour mark, I'm like, oh, wait. How long has it been since I've seen an action scene here? I think I might be bored. And then I started getting like, oh, shit.
I like the way I have to ask yourself, am I bored?
I was. Yes. I had to do. Yes, and I was I started to realize that the movie is unfortunately quite crap. It's just all over the place. What do you think? Oh, good.
Megatron, tremble before me.
What's that there, Megatron? I can't understand you. I don't
know. Imagine if I did that with my cold-infused voice, which I have right now.
Paul's got some fucking Barry White shit going on today.
That is correct if you're wondering about the change in timbre of my voice and whether it cracks every once
Lemony.
In a while.
Yeah, cool.
This film is a giant bag of ass.
What specifically?
I will say, it looks pretty.
That's it. It's a well-made film. It's just not a well-conceived film or something. I don't know.
No, it looks pretty. That's
it's
all it has going for it, really.
But that
and
means
one good action scene at the end of the film, which we won't spoil to the details of.
Yes.
Which I did dig, and I had some moments where, finally, a bit of fun, a little bit of, because that rescued this film from being probably the worst score I was going to give anything this year.
Oh, wow.
Because it was really, really, I was just so bland. And the thing that really annoyed me, apart from seeing there were $200 million spent on this film, is this is the second time around they've had a go at this storyline.
Yes.
And Simon Kinberg was involved the first time around. Like, what has Fox learned?
Wait, since you bring this up, I need some fucking answers here. No, we're not going to go into... Well, maybe I should wait for spoilers.
All right, hold it.
Okay.
Except to say this. The convoluted mess that is the X-Men timeline has a lot to answer for.
It has absolutely massive things to answer for.
And I'm really, really glad in one way that this is the last time Fox can take a shit all over this particular franchise. Disney, I have zero doubt, will do it better.
Yes.
Because I get to start with a clean slate. And the first two X-Men films, all the way back to Bryan Singer, he who should not be named, directed back in the early 2000s, they're fine. In fact, arguably, they're pretty good films.
X2 is a fucking fantastic film.
And there you go. I think most people...
That's X1. X1, I like the two.
Then X-Men The Last Stand, Brett Ratner gets his grubby paws all over
it. That's a piece of shit.
It goes to shit.
Yeah.
That is doing the same storyline here with Famke Janssen. So the big problem I have is this.
Yeah.
Even considering that I believe the events of X-Men Days of Future Past retcon everything and reset the timeline.
Is that what happens? That was my question.
I believe so. Even considering that, are we meant to believe that in 1994 was this film or set? Somewhere around there.
That's right.
That in less than 10 years' time, McAvoy is going to look like James Patrick Stewart. And Fassbender is going to look like
Ian McKellen. Like, it's actually
what?
You know what? It's actually 8 years.
Fuck.
I looked this up as well. This movie is set 8 years before the X-Men where fucking Ian McKellen looks like that. So what the fuck did he do in 8 years? Did he fucking have children? That's the only way you can look that old in that fucking short of time.
No, you've absolutely nailed it. I know it's a nitpick, but the problem is this film's not good enough to engage your attention enough that you're not thinking about these things. And so the whole way through the film, I'm like, well, that makes zero sense, and this makes zero sense.
Yeah.
They don't care, the filmmakers, about that kind of level of quality control. They just expect you to swallow it beneath this very thick layer of generally well-rendered CGI effects.
Yeah.
Some of them are a bit dodge.
There's a couple of spots I noticed.
Absolutely there are. But overall, it looks very slick. That's the best thing I can say about it.
Cute.
Really is. Because if I can move on to the next worst thing.
What?
The performances are garbage.
Okay, let me think.
Universally, especially and most egregiously, Jessica Chastain playing a Terminator-like... Oh, she's an alien.
She is an alien.
And she gets no emoting to do whatsoever. Why would you cast Jessica Chastain?
Exactly! This is... one thing I wanted to say about this movie, this has somehow made Jessica Chastain look homely, all right? Like, it's just because at the beginning when you see her, she's... You know, I won't spoil it, but she actually has some emotion or whatever. She's
for about 15 seconds.
And then the alien, basically, version of her has zero emoting, but also seems to just be shitter. Like, just it's just shit. Like, it's just it's a stupid idea.
I felt really bad for her because...
I would be very unhappy with my performance if
I
was her.
I would too. I'm surprised. I mean, obviously, they threw bucket loads of money at her.
Yeah, this is why it's a $200 million budget.
Exactly. But to still, like, I guess you got to put the kids through college and all the rest of that shit. Nevertheless, it's a terrible performance.
It's
in a really badly written character. I think she would, and her agent would know better.
Yeah, no, I would say, oh, look, this deal was cut a long time ago, man. Hey Jay, you want to be in a movie with Jennifer Lawrence and fucking Michael Fassbender and fucking all these other crackers? Yeah. You'd be like, yeah, fucking hey, sign me up, right? This shit happens all the time. But more importantly, I think that what character she's played, you're not told anything by the movie.
You get one line. We'll talk about that in spoilers.
Yeah.
Because that is revealing something about the film. You get one throwaway line that explains the entire arc/motivations of the villains.
Of that character. Yeah, exactly. And also, because you have given very little information, you don't care.
Exactly.
Which means the movie doesn't matter. What it feels like this whole movie, it's the script. That's the problem with this movie, right? The characters are poorly drawn. The actual stuff, it's almost like the studio said, hey, we own these characters. Let's have them do stuff. Right?
It's trading on the goodwill of the superior films that have come before it. X-Men First Class.
X-Men First Class I adored, by the way.
Days of Future Past.
Yeah.
No one really liked Apocalypse, but still, it's the same characters.
Yeah.
Right? So they're basically saying, all the character development's in those films, therefore you accept them for who they are already.
Yeah.
Let's go. Except it doesn't work. And I've singled out Jessica Chastain, so now I'm going to single out, I think McAvoy, he doesn't have much to do.
Do you know what? He's just doing that thing. Yeah. McAvoy is great and Fassbender is great. They're both great.
Fassbender's probably the best in the film. He comes off the best. But everybody else in this film, is rat shit. Who is that woman playing Storm? And when did she get her acting
when
degree?
When did she? No, and more importantly, why is
Alexandra's ship or something?
Okay, so again, 8 years before we see the Halle Berry Storm. Did Halle Berry just lose her accent? Is that what happened? Is that what's going on here? A lot of shit like that turns up.
But the person I'm most angry at is Jennifer Lawrence. Have you ever seen a more phoned-in role than this?
She didn't give a single fuck.
Not one.
And you know what? I didn't know this because I didn't see the trailer. Apparently the trailer tells you what happens to her.
Oh, really?
Yeah. All right?
Oh.
Which is in the trailer.
Yeah, without saying any more than that.
Yeah, again, they're really trying to get you to see the movie, I guess. I don't know, right? That I didn't know that. And I was still like, oh, okay. Well, you know, this is a development.
Technically, the CGI is pretty good. Mostly, some of the shots Kinberg constructs to make it a bit more interesting, cameras flipping around and revolving around characters, some of those are quite nice. You mentioned the car crash at the start.
Amazing.
That's quite nice. Nicely shot.
Mm.
So there are moments. There are moments in amongst the shit that is this film. Unfortunately, and because we've all seen it before, there's nothing to be surprised by.
Especially Magneto. Like, Michael Fassbender's character.
Oh, that is worth mentioning.
Does everything he did in the previous movie. Like, we've seen this before. He's like, oh, he's gone into hiding. He's got his own little thing, and he's brought out of hiding by some incident. Then he goes and gets pissy. That's his thing.
Yeah, the change in motive. Probably that's the reason why Fassbender kind of annoyed me too, because Magneto.
Mm.
He changed his mind 18 times in this film. It's just like, fucking pick a side, motherfucker.
This is why the plot meanders everywhere. Yep. There's a scene where he uses a cabin full of guns and points them all at someone and shoots. That's kind of cool.
Well,
that looks really cool.
The end fight scene has some great character skills moments.
Yes.
Right? But well, maybe we'll say that for the spoilers. Okay. I think you get the general impression.
I do want to mention one thing before we go.
I hated this film. Wayne.
All right. Sophie Turner.
Yeah.
Fucking shit. All right? And more importantly, a bit of a minger. I'm sorry, but it's true, all right? Everyone is like,
this
like...
This is strange coming from the man who loves the ginger.
I love the ginge, but this woman is a bit of a beast. I'm sorry to be so surface level.
I don't agree with that.
I reckon. I'm like, no, I don't. She doesn't look to me to be a movie star at all. I don't feel like she's a movie star. And everyone hates Sansa Stark, don't they? So
I had no problem with the way that she looks. I think she wasn't a great actor.
No, it was all part of the performance. She looked like she was pissed off or something.
But they all, this is the problem. They're all directed to basically scrunch their face up like they're constipated and will the shit out.
Who fucking directed this?
Simon Kinberg. A guy who's worked on the films before but never directed a film as far as I'm aware.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. It didn't work. Again, to me, it's the script. It's the plot and the script. It was just shit and it made you not care.
He was responsible for, like I said, he has a visual flair, which I can buy into.
Agreed.
Is quite nice.
So he's a good DP, but he's not necessarily a good... You know, director.
Correct. All right, well, that's everything really generally we can say about it. Let's get into it on the other side of our spoiler warning, the more specific details about Dark Shitnecks.
Hit it.
Spoiler. All right, steer clear if you've yet to see the film. Wayne, you wanted to mention J-Law / Raven. I didn't even know that. I thought she was still called Mystique, but apparently
I didn't know
at
she was
some
Raven.
Point
like,
she changed to Raven.
Yeah, I do. Okay, you got me. Okay, so yes, hello. One of the bad things that Jean Grey does when she can't control her power is she does this shockwave thing and it forces J-Law, who was trying to be her friend and help her despite the danger, get skewered by something, right? So she dies, right?
Yep.
And that's a big thing. And that's obviously the big turning point in the movie that makes Magneto, who's very fond of Mystique, go after all the shit and all this sort of thing. So the first thing I'm thinking is like, all right, because obviously we've seen Famke Janssen's Jean Grey.
Mm-hmm.
This is rewriting all that. So this is now none of that's happened. Is that right?
I guess not.
Because if it... But then how does... I mean, maybe...
So I'm saying, it's never been confirmed. Like, no one ever turned around
But it
and
had
said,
to be, because we've seen all these old versions of these characters. So what exactly... This is what gave me the shits for the movie. Now, look, if someone can tell me that it's been rebooted at some stage in the past movies...
I'm pretty sure X-Men Days of Future Past rebooted things. But they've never addressed it in the universe of the films. Maybe they can't, because I don't understand that's happened.
Well,
but
yeah.
It's wank.
It's pure wank. And it doesn't even...
Matthew Vaughn's First Class took place in what year?
Oh, yeah, the 50s.
Was it 50s?
No,
or?
It was 60s.
In the 60s. Based when was Fassbender a kid? It was like during World War II, right?
Yes.
And he has got that whole Nazi-esque Holocaust.
That's right.
Background.
And in this, I think I read it somewhere that in this movie he's meant to be, like, well, he will actually end up being like 80 or some shit.
No, that's a little bit off. I think 1994, so we could say he's about 60,
yeah.
62.
Looking great for 60.
Yeah, because he's 5 or 6 during the events
of
the Holocaust,
works
right?
With the Ian McKellen thing.
Yes,
Ian McKellen,
Ian McKellen
62,
does,
you know?
But so, not with Fassbender.
Exactly, and there's so many holes like that, which means they're just making many movies.
There are heaps of holes. I mean, the whole first mission, they go up to space to rescue. So again, the implication is because they saved the world from apocalypse in the last film, now they are treated well.
Yeah.
And Professor Xavier at the start is trying to keep he's got a direct line to the president. He wants to keep all that going.
Yep.
And the film clumsily makes the point that maybe he's become too caught up in his own, you know, his own shtick rather than really worried about his charges anymore.
Which is quite good because you're used to Professor Xavier being
perfect.
Well,
it's an arc. It's something at least something, for McAvoy to sink his teeth into.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Because he's confined to this
chair. He's actually playing a slightly different note. Yeah.
That's something. But he's like, they go up there. And I don't know why we've got nine X-Men up there or whatever, for whatever reason. Like, what is Raven doing? She's just ordering them around. She's just fucking nothing else.
Well, that's the
what
thing.
What does Beast do? He drives the ship. You tell me no one else can drive the ship?
But it's such a, it's a weird, like, hey, we'll just use this airplane and go to space. Well,
then there's a then there's a moment, yeah. Then there's a moment where Nightcrawler.
Yes.
He jumps over there and takes Quicksilver with him.
Yep.
Apparently moving so fast.
Yep.
That Quicksilver never needs to breathe.
That was an issue.
Right. And then he comes back. And then when Nightcrawler goes back, Quicksilver puts a helmet on him.
And I'm like, well, sticky tapes it with duct tape.
Yeah. That's going to keep the vacuum of space out.
Exactly.
To say nothing of what does space temperature at?
Yes, they're freezing cold.
Negative whatever 1,000 Kelvin or some shit.
Well, even you're right. They didn't even think about that shit.
They'd have instantly frozen.
Yeah. And no one put a force field around him at that stage to do anything.
So straight away I'm like, all right, so the laws of physics don't matter in this film less than they normally do in a superhero
film.
That's
actually pretty bad.
That really annoyed me.
It's pretty bad, yeah, it is.
So I was already like, oh, this is fucking stupid. And then, like you said, it got boring through the middle of the film. Mm-hmm. So I got more and more annoyed at that. I didn't buy any character investment at all.
Who did I like most of all?
Magneto's established relationship with Raven's fine. That propels him.
That was fine.
But like... anybody, like Beast, and oh, he's pissed off that Raven's killed. Like,
man, Cyclops was the one who was banging her.
Oh, Cyclops is.
So he was. No, Cyclops, sorry, was banging, Cyclops was Jean banging Grey. Jean Grey, yeah.
Jean Grey, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, I know. It's they don't work at all. And let me tell you something about the goddamn aliens, right?
Oh, God.
So here's my real problem with
it. Did you pick up why they're doing what they're doing?
Didn't care. But yes, I know. They're trying to harness this power for their own means or whatever. But
well, after it destroys their world, because that's what you do when a power comes through and destroys your entire world, you chase it to harness it for yourself.
Yes. Well, I mean,
because in some way that can fix everything.
Do you know what? They reckon they could rebuild their planet, but who cares? I mean, I'm fine with that. What I'm not fine with is that these aliens have such inconsistent rules about how you kill them. All right. At the end of the movie, they're in the fucking train. Right. By the way. Train is not a very exciting end for a fucking movie.
I actually liked that. But that was a bit liked. Yeah, I dug it because we got some... up till that point, Beast had done nothing.
Yeah,
he got... not a single fucking thing this entire film.
He got actually badass at some stage.
And also, the waves of these aliens, by the way, it's so poorly edited together, this sequence.
You don't know who's what.
On some sequence, in some shots, there's 20 of them on the outside of the train trying to bang in. In others, there's about 80. And then the X-Men deal with at least 40 of them. And then there's a shot at the end when there's still about... 100 of them.
Yep, I'm like,
what is going on?
Yeah, you have no idea. And guess what else, right? So they're firing this large bore fucking like chain gun at these things and it's not killing them.
Yep.
All right? They even get into the train and they've been taken out. They're regenerating. But for some reason, when Magneto throws shards of metal at them, that kills them. Or if Nightcrawler sticks his tail in one head, that'll kill him too.
Yep.
What the fucking chain gun didn't do it? Kiss my ass. You cannot have it both ways.
Absolutely right. It wasn't consistent at all.
And that was I said, fuck off. That's bullshit. And then I started getting angry at the ending. And it's just a piece of shit.
Unfortunately, that is this film. It is a piece of shit. There's nothing really else to say about it, to be honest. Very disappointed. Even though I had no expectations, I thought it was going to be shit. It is shit.
I was willing to go, but it just lost its way.
This is the worst film I've seen at the cinema this year.
Wow.
Yep. I haven't seen a lot at the cinema.
I can't remember. Yeah, okay.
15, 16 films. This is worse than Glass for me.
Yeah, it is. It's worse than Glass. I agree.
And that was the worst film. We haven't seen anything really egregiously horrible. This is as close as we've gotten to it.
Yeah, this isn't...
like, there hasn't been a Pacific Rim upchucking yet this year.
That's right.
At least not that I've seen.
Yeah, well... yeah, exactly. Not yet.
But been a lot of 2.5, a lot of 2-star films, and that's not good.
Yeah.
This year is failing to blow my skirt up.
Oh, yeah. It's only half over. We'll see how we go.
Yeah, well, hopefully the second half of the year will be better.
Yeah.
Final thoughts, Wayne, and a score, please, for X-Men Dark Phoenix.
It's not the worst time you'll have at a cinema, but it's not worth your time. So, 42?
Yeah, I'm 36 for me.
36. So. Yeah, it looked nice for me.
That's all. Yeah. Like I said, I agree. It had some nice shots. The CGI was pretty good. But the characters were terrible. Yeah. Their motivations were usually shit.
If you care at all about the X-Men franchise at this stage, then definitely go see it, right? But I don't know anyone who does that.
I would agree. I think everyone's pretty happy that Fox, they're done with this.
Yeah.
That is our review of X-Men Dark Phoenix.
Word.
Let us know if you got it right or wrong. And you can do so via email, thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com, on our Facebook listener community link in the show notes, or on Twitter at thecountdownpc. Check out all our other shows and indeed some great other shows like ours on the website we are part of, Comic Confidential Radio at ccradio.com.au. And that's really it for today's episode.
Boom.
My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
And this has been The Soundboard in an ironic fashion.
What? I stand resolute, motherfucker.
There was nothing standing resolute about this film.
Point at just all. Like every other time. Tickets.
See ya.